I just want to just share a really couple of quick words about baptism. And we as a church, we practice doing a public baptism at least 3 or 4 times a year. And I give up my preaching time. It's not that easy for me, trust me. But I know that it's powerful when people get to share their stories. And I've said it many times before, I think their testimonies are probably much more powerful than any sermon that I can come up with. And I don't just say that flippantly, I really, really believe that. This is my favorite service as a pastor. It's not because I don't have to do any work. I still do a little work. But it's just simply the fact that I love hearing how God has touched people's lives. And it's so unique, it's so personal, it's so different. God has a way of just pinpointing into our hearts with his love and his grace. And I just enjoy listening to what God is doing in people's lives. Baptism is not necessary for your salvation. Okay, and so if you're not baptized, it doesn't mean that you're not going to heaven. And so we want to make sure that we actually teach very correctly God's word. But what baptism is, it's a command that Jesus Christ gave to the church. And it's something that the church has practiced from its inception. And it was really, in a nutshell, it's a public confession or an outward sign of what God has already done to us inside. And so the proper theological statement would be, it's an outward sign of an inward regeneration. In other words, God has already done something so precious in my life. I want to tell the world, I want to tell my church what he has done in us. And baptism in as a symbol is so powerful because it's going down and it's dying to our old self, is being buried with God, with Christ, and then it's being raised up, just like we're raised up here into a new life, but also we're raised up into a life eternal with God the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And so baptism is an incredible, what the church would call a sacrament or a means of grace. It's a way that we could really receive blessing individually, but also as a community. One thing we do, and every church has a different culture, what we do at our church in Solomon's Porch is we want to hear their stories. And so we set aside time and we give everyone ample time to come and share their testimony. And so we can just really live out and listen to the faithfulness of God over their life. And so this morning we have the privilege of inviting 4 of our young brothers and sisters. And public speaking is one of the most stressful things. I probably shouldn't say it, but I say this because I want you to cheer on our youth group kids when they come up. Amen? I want you to laugh at every semi-joke even. I mean, I want you to smile at them. You know, it's nerve-wracking when someone's just frowning upon them as they're up here. Let's everyone practice this. I want you a nice smile. Everyone, yeah, when they're up here, I want everyone to smile. They can see that you're enjoying it, and it's not fake. Everyone's enjoying what you're saying. And so we want to make sure that we have a very welcoming and loving atmosphere for our youth group brothers and sisters to share their stories with us. Amen? All right, and so we have an order here, and so I'm going to invite them one at a time, and then one of the aspects of baptism is really an immersion into, not just in the water, but into the community. And so I'm going to ask you to vouch for each of these members. And when you say amen, what I'm typically going to say is, do you receive this brother or this sister in Christ? And now be very careful. When you say amen, you're not just saying you agree that he's a believer or she's a believer. When you say amen, you're actually making a commitment to help them in their spiritual journey. And so, and this is really the job of the whole church, not just the pastors and youth group teachers and whatnot. It's actually the whole church that comes together to say, you know what, I'm going to play whatever role God sees fit to play a role in seeing you being discipled and conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's kind of our statement to know him and the discipleship aspect to be like him. And then the follow-up or the overflow of that is to make him known. Okay, amen? All right. So without further ado, let me invite our first brave, awesome, incredible young man. Let's welcome up Richard Tang up here.
So, hi, my name is Richard. I've been going to church since 9 years old, and I've been no doubt about Jesus Christ and his ability. However, there are always enemies and struggles for me. Emotion is one of my struggles and enemies. For many years of my life, I've experienced regularly of depression, and I'm convinced about what I thought and what I was feeling. And while I feel depressed, I have no idea that it was Satan who tried to make wrong suggestions to me through my mind. Satan seeks to fill my mind with negative thoughts and emotions that made me feel down. I felt depressed, and I felt lonely regularly. And I often thought that I had no friends. I didn't have a real friend to share how I feel and to hang out with. And what my mom often asked me to do was to find a real friend. When I felt bored, I didn't know whom I should talk to. When there were some big activities or gathering that everyone was invited, I was not. Also, even though there were some activities that I might be invited, I wasn't the first one that they thought about and they wanted to invite. My school usually got some parties to celebrate for festivals such as Christmas and Lunar New Year. We would only have half-day school as a result. Well, I saw almost all the classmates could hang out together after the parties, and I was the only one who could find nobody to hang out with, and I had to go back home straight away. I felt really depressed and really lonely. People may think that I smile and laugh a lot, but this is because I'm trying to hide the depression on my face. There are so many events having happened in my life that make me feel depressed and unhappy with. There are also so many times that this unhappy and depressed memory flows into my mind, into my dream. I try not to think about it, but it is hard. There have been many times when I try to give up something and do not want to care about somebody or something anymore, but in fact, I still care a lot and I don't want to give up. I think everyone may like to have summer vacation in their life, but I don't. Because when it's summer vacation, I don't have the chance to go back to school every day to see my classmates. So it seems that there will be something to make me depressed in my life every day. However, there's only one place I can feel comfortable with. That is the church. My teacher brought me to this church, but he changed to another church afterwards. So I do really enjoy worshiping. I like the feeling that everyone gathers together, sings, and praises the Lord. It makes me feel that this is a big family, and we are all together and get to do something that we enjoy. After going to church, my thoughts towards life changes a lot. I learned that I didn't have to follow my every feeling that and a thought I had. I've learned that staying depressed can cause me to start feeling discouraged, not motivated to do anything and scared of doing anything. So as soon as I feel sad and think negatively, the devil attacks me with depression. I would turn to the Holy Spirit and allow him to fill me with hope. I understand that I always have feelings, they will never go away. But I can control my feelings. I can have self-control. James 4:7 tells me to resist the devil, and I must also resist the depression and anything that resembles it because it belongs to the devil. And Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord, always delight, glad yourself in him. Again, I say rejoice. If I stay filled with the right thing, the wrong thing has no place. A few years ago, there were lots of bad things happened to my family, that both my grandmother and my mother had a hard time. They felt hopeless, and they were fighting against diseases really hard. As they started to pray and turn to the Holy Spirit, they were healed, and they overcame the diseases. Also, 2 years ago, I played basketball, and I tried to do an alley-oop, and I tried to be cool. I broke my leg. At that time, I just thought, I'm going to be crippled for the rest of my life. I prayed hard and asked God for help. God brought Pastor Nate and other churchmates to visit me and pray for me. And I was healed, and I was totally fine right now. So God is a miracle, and he is amazing. So Whenever I feel depressed about something, I do not have faith to face the truth. I have to ask God to help me, so I must stop letting my feelings, mind, body, and past experience control me. And I allow God to give me a fresh plan, a new idea, and a new goal. I can experience victory over my emotions by being led and guided by the Holy Spirit, whom Jesus sent to me as my comforter, helper, strengthener, that remains with me forever. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Thank God. I don't have to be disappointed, discouraged, and depressed. Jesus is not the only way, but it's also the way out. And Jesus is my healer and my glory. Today, I choose to get baptized because I would like to tell everyone that Jesus is always in my life and in my heart. Indeed, he is in my life. So I'm his son, and I'm willing to put my faith in Jesus Christ. And I'm looking forward to have a deeper relationship with him. Thank you.
Good job. Amen. That's awesome. Richard can preach. Huh? That's good, man. Okay, church. Do you welcome Richard to be your brother in Christ? Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Hi. So I have been a Christian my whole life. I was born and raised in a Christian family. So going to church on a Sunday morning is never really a strange thing for me. However, I never really experienced God or get close to him by heart. Until 4 years ago, my teacher, Mr. Nathan Cho, who also brought Richard here. And here I get to encounter God and know him on a deeper level. My life after Christ, or to be exact, my life after fully understanding and knowing Christ has changed significantly. It wasn't until 2 weeks ago when P8 made the youth group do the cardboard testimony, where we write a sentence or two about our life before and after meeting Christ, that I realized that my life has changed drastically. My attitude towards life, academics, people, and even God himself has a huge difference. I remember the first time I felt God by heart. It was about forgiveness. Back then, I wasn't really a very forgiving person. I tend to hold grudge towards people who sin against me. So my pastor was talking about forgiveness on that very week, and suddenly I felt something in my heart, which I can't really describe. And it was sort of like a relief or something. I know that it was God saying to me, "Let go of all the hate and anger, Phoebe, for it is not good for you. All the hate and rage will only trap you inside a box where you cannot get out unless you forgive them." He also said to me, "We as Christians have to be kind to one another. We have to forgive another and do not hold any resentment towards them." I also realized that I have wronged my Heavenly Father for it. God knows how many times, and he forgave me just the same. Ephesians 4:31-32. "Get rid of all the bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." Well, of course, this is just one of the examples of me practicing my faith in God. Long story short, I have become a grown, mature, and fairly Christianish girl, I might say, who is trying very hard to continue her Christian walk with God. 4 years ago, I have taken a leap of faith and joined this church without knowing anything about it or have the slightest idea of what is going to happen. Today, I stand here before all of you, taking another leap of faith in my life. I want to experience and encounter God, not only on a service level, but on a much deeper relationship with God. Thank you.
Amen. You guys are so mature. I think you guys do better than our adults do in speaking. It's amazing. So do you welcome Phoebe as your sister in Christ?
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Wesley. And I've been a Christian for most of my life since the age of 5. Therefore, I couldn't really recall my life before Christ. What I remember was going to church with my parents and attended Sunday school regularly for a long period of time. Sunday school provided biblical knowledge and stories of the iconic characters to me, and I was able to know the biblical stories by heart and answer all the questions that were posed by the teachers. But I simply treated those as mere stories that are interesting to read and learn, without knowing the deeper message behind them. Even if messages such as God loves me, I'm forgiven, and God can do all things are told, I just couldn't relate those to myself. I know the messages in the top of my head and could easily tell that when asked, but I could never understand that in a personal level. Sure, God loves me and I'm cleansed, but I never felt that way, and I treated them as just information. I guess I was quite distant with God despite memorizing all the biblical knowledge. Until 3 years ago when I went to the Gateway Camp, a summer camp with incredible worship service and a valuable time for bonding with one another in Christ, that I truly experienced the power and love of God. Although I did not see God or overtly hear God, I felt goosebumps during prayers and worship. That was the moment when I truly felt God's presence and He was in our midst during worship and prayers. In particular, my conversation and encounter with God, with Christ in the prayer room left an indelible imprint in my mind. The prayer room was an extraordinary place, a camp solely dedicated for people praying, interceding, and simply connecting with God at any time. This is where I could really feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. With the worship songs playing in the background, there I was able to choose a corner and just simply pray. The amazing part during the prayers was that I was able to pour out my heart to God and became vulnerable before Him. I was able to converse with God as if the barrier that was present between us was lifted, and I could directly cry out to God. This was something I had never experienced before prior to the camp, and I truly believe that it was God's plan for me to attend the camp, and He had moved me and transformed me during the course of it. I no longer view the Bible stories as mere knowledge and that were just interesting, but began to understand in my heart that the biblical characters experienced through the infinite power of God. Messages such as God loves me and forgiven now directly speak to the inner part of me. For now, I not only know these facts, but I've experienced His love and forgiveness in a personal way. After the experience of God's greatness and His unconditional love, I decide to strive to live for God for the rest of my life. Although the enemy may act against my decision, I believe I can carry on through depending and relying on Christ. To reassure my determination, faith, and to declare this to the public, I decide to get baptized. I see baptism as a transformative act in which one is cleansed from the old life and enters to a new life, basically declaring the new identity of being a follower of Christ. Since I have such determination to become a follower of Christ, that's why I want to get baptized. Thank you.
Amen. Do you welcome Wesley as your brother in Christ? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Wesley.
So, growing up, like all the other youth before me said, I've always known God. My mother is a Christian, and so she has always brought me to church with her on Sundays, and she made sure I went. And I've always grown up in... into Christian schools, and at school I was a shy and quiet kid. I know it's hard to believe it. I didn't make any friends, and I was usually the one that gets picked on, probably because of my glasses. I was wearing glasses, and I had very little hair, so I guess that made me an easy target. But gradually, I began to develop anxiety in public places and a low self-esteem. I was insecure. Things had gotten better when I switched into an international school. Although I was still quiet, I was less anxious and more confident about myself. That was when I experienced God's love for me. I used to question God, why did He make me so different from others? Why am I always the one that stands out from the crowd? Yet I slowly began to realize just how special I am with God, just the way that God made me. So in grade 2, I did my confession prayer and formally asked God to be in my life. I did it because I love God and because I also did not want to go to hell. I gave him my life because I know that I'm not perfect, and that's all right because I have a greater power who had sent his son to die for me so I can be free of sin today. So after the confession prayer, my whole personality changed. I was much more confident about myself because I know that God is with me wherever I go. I began talking a lot more than I used to. I made friends, and all over just opening myself to others. As years passed, my faith in God began to grow, but like the Israelites, when trials and hardships came upon, I doubted God. This happened during my last few years of primary school, and at that time, I started going to a church because I wanted to go to an English-speaking church, and it was... No, it's not this church. Don't worry. So I was new, and during that time, they had a youth retreat, and I went. During the camp, I met a lot of new friends, and I was really happy because I thought that I finally feel like I was a part of that church. However, afterwards, their so-called friends that I made during camp talked behind my back. So it's not this church. they said something really mean, which really shocked me because I thought Christians are not supposed to gossip. Not true. this incident really impacted me because ever since then I never stepped back into a church. I saw Christians as hypocrites. How could they call themselves and hate it? How can they call themselves Christians at the same time doing things that hurt people so badly? Much more, I was angry at God. I asked him how could he let something happen to me just when I got back my... Just when I built my confidence from the past years and now it's crashing down again. I was furious. Few years has passed, and I lost confidence. But it wasn't until my teacher, Miss Mary over there, she brought me to church, and she's leaving soon, but it's okay. And at first, I didn't really go as regularly as I thought I was supposed to because there were only 4 of them and all of them came from the same school, so it was really awkward. But gradually I began to grow more into Christ. I came more often because most of my classmates came here as well. But it was here that I actually really experienced how is it to be loved by others, how to be in a family of God, and he had showed me, and he had revealed himself in miraculous ways. So this is what brings me here today. I'm standing here born again, no longer living into the ways of the world, but bound by death, but renewed in him through the blood of Jesus Christ. I have committed my life to God, and would like all of us here today to witness this. Yes, I'm not perfect, but after I come out of the water today, there will be struggles and trials, but I'm proud to say that I'm now united with the God Almighty. Thank you.
Thanks, Grace. Amen. Let's do a quick poll. How many of you guys say that Joyce is perfect? Amen? Yes. Do you welcome this beautiful woman of God into the family of Christ? Amen? Thank you. Good job.
Atmosphere here and the energy here. So from there on, it's very strange. I was just willingly to attend the Sunday service on my own without knowing anyone here or hanging around with anyone here. So I would just come on my own without anyone would have to bring me. But during all this year and during the time, my health condition has always had problem. So my house church sisters encouraged me to come up here and after the service to speak to the well team. So that first time experience of the well team really had a strong impact on me. Because I just simply told Larry, he was one of the well team's leader. So I only simply told him the kind of sickness I had. So through his praying for me, it's very strange. He was able to number out how many irritations there are in my body. So at that moment, I was really shocked and somehow thought he has some superpower or something. So how would he know how many exact irritations there are in my body? So I was just really shocked and just think of my hand. And even more other than that, he was able to detail my sickness, and he even then told me that God wants him to tell me that I'm carrying too much burden and too much worries on my shoulder, which was true at that time because my family is going through a very difficult time. And but at that time, I did not tell a word of this matter to Larry. And he told me God wants him to let me know, don't stress too much. Just leave the evil for the God to handle. So at that moment, all those untold sorrows just became tears poured out from my eyes without control. I don't know why. I was just amazed, comforted. And most importantly, I think, I really gained more confidence and faith in God. So even though the difficult situation that my family is trapped in is still not solved yet, but now I think I just believe more in God's righteousness. I think we just have to keep our faith in Him and with His schedule. So today, I'm here ready to be baptized simply because I want to repent my sins and I'm ready for it. And I want to be reborn in God's glory. So that's it. Thank you.
That was so good. Stand here. Amen. That's pretty good for being nervous, huh? Amen. Wow, that's amazing. Okay, do you receive Alan as your sister in Christ? Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
My name is Clayton, and yeah, everyone knows that. And I want to get baptized because I want to show God how much I believe in Him. And I heard about God when I was in kindergarten, and I think that He was very amazing. The teacher told us how Jesus died on the cross for our sins and how He rose from the dead. When I was little, my dad watched really scary movies, like when I was 4. So with really loud sounds and like with a lot of people, and I got scared, so I told him not to watch more, but he just pushed me into my room and then locked the door. So, and I got scared, and I couldn't sleep, and the teacher in the kindergarten said, if you have any problems, you can talk to God about it. So I did. I prayed to God, ask Him to comfort me and make me sleep, and also make my dad stop watching it. And I prayed because he was watching it like a lot, almost every day. So, and I continued praying for a few times. Then I slept, and the next day my dad told me that he wouldn't watch it, and yeah, and he said that he was sorry. I'm finished.
Oh, man. So sit here, Clayton. Wow. You know, he's only 10 years old. Huh? It's amazing, so mature. Do you receive Clayton as your little brother in Christ?
Amen. Good job.
Hi, everyone. Yeah, my name is Sylvia, mom of Clayton. My testimony is a little long. Please bear with me. Before I was a Christian, I was involved in Buddhism because a monk that I met was helping cancer patients through Chinese medicine. I helped serve with him for a year, but he left the temple and I didn't go back after. I always felt there was a God since I was little because there were always question marks in my head about how the world was built and all the stories about the disciples and the Noah's Ark, etc., etc. Even though I did not grow up in a Catholic or Christian family or school. Therefore, I had no chance to be introduced to God until about 9 years ago when I was having problem with my marriage. My ex-husband doesn't believe in Christ at all, so there was no chance I could ask him to pray together with me through our difficult relationship. Plus, he refused to go to see any marriage counselors. I was quietly praying for about 3 years, hoping that he would change. I suffered from depression due to domestic violence. During that time, followed by a divorce. I started to doubt where is God, and I stopped praying. About 2 years ago, I was, on a business trip in Bangkok. I was exhausted from my job. I was flying nonstop. When I was lying on the hotel bed that night, I saw three male's heads over my face, and I was scared. But for some reason, I thought of Jesus Christ immediately. So I prayed God to give me a good night's sleep, and by his name, to kick those three heads away, because I am so tired and I need to wake up in the next morning for the training I was giving out. I fell asleep immediately. So the next morning I felt, wow, he exists. So I started to pray again now and then, but not faithfully or because I wanted to seek him more. Until on 21st of February this year, my third elder sister, Kion Kwok, the one who is the closest to me and the one I love the most, got sent to a local hospital by ambulance because of throwing up twice, followed by some numbed feelings on her left-hand side of the body. I jumped in the cab from Central immediately to see her. When I got there, my sister's arms and legs were moving unintentionally, and she was like in the movie called The Exorcist. I didn't know what to do, and I immediately prayed. After 2 CT scans, the hospital found nothing. I suddenly remembered on the 23rd of February, she told me before that she saw her neighbor who passed away in December 2013 sitting in her living room at 3 a.m. in late January. She was so scared, but she asked me not to tell mom or other family members because she did not want them to worry. She told me she thought she should go back to church, but she was too busy with her young twin boys and making excuses not to go. I had no knowledge about demons or dead spirits, so I went home and asked my helper, Bliss, and what to do. And because she is a very faithful Christian, and she converted from Catholic to Christian since she was in Hong Kong. She taught me how to pray, and she explained just some parts of the Bible to me, and I understood this time. Over the last 9 years, I had received 3 bilingual Bibles as a gift, but I had no idea what it was saying every time when someone read it to me. So I went back to the hospital the next day to pray around my sister's bed. Kion seemed calmer and became pinkish from the dark gray on her face, while I put the frankincense oil on the spine and her feet while praying at the same time because the Bible mentioned frankincense. I came back the next morning on the 24th of February morning to pray again. When I arrived, She had high fever again, and I wasn't comfortable with the care she was receiving at the hospital. My brother-in-law was hesitant to transfer her out to the private hospital because she has been sick from lupus over for 21 years. And he was worried that if we transfer her to the doctors and to a private hospital and no one would know her history, and also we didn't have insurance. At that time, there was a strong voice in my head that said she has to leave that hospital. And it took a great courage to tell my family to do so, because I am the youngest in a traditional Chinese family, so you know how it is like. I never had any saying in my family since little. Anyway, we transferred her to the Union Hospital in Shaoxing. Once she got in this hospital, she did another CT scan. This time, the neurosurgeon found out 2/3 of her brain stem cells are blocked. He told us we must conduct an operation on her, but he can't do the operation because it was too risky and it is still too new in Hong Kong. And there are 2 senior neurosurgeons can do it, but he might not accept my sister's case because she had less than 30% chance to survive. Plus, they only did 3 cases in Hong Kong so far. I felt like I was falling in the deep dark hole. I did not know what to expect. The only thing I can do is kneel down by the window and pray to God. When this neurosurgeon make a phone call to the senior neurosurgeon, Dr. Chang, at 1 a.m. in the morning on the 25th of February, I told God I will follow him if he makes the doctor to accept my sister's case. After a short while, doctor said he will accept her because she is only 40 years old and too young. But the chances is less than 30% success rate. Plus, she has a high chance to become a vegetable, even if the operation is successful. Doctor said my sister has a high chance of not waking up after the operation. I told her I love her the first time in my life. As you know, Chinese, we don't say things like that. I planted a kiss on her forehead because I was so scared and worried that it will be the last time I can see her. She was getting sent down to the operating room. It was about 2 a.m. I got a notification from Facebook that my good friend Elaine, who also brought me to SP Church, I saw it and I immediately prayed it over my sister's forehead before she got sent to the operational room. I thank her deeply at that moment because I had no idea how to pray, but I felt her prayer was so strong. After she got sent to the operational room, Elaine texted me on WhatsApp around 3:30 and apologized that she posted such a long prayer on my Facebook as she worried that I might not be happy. I replied her immediately to thank her as I didn't mind at all, and I asked her why she was still awake. She then told me she woke up suddenly and she found some glitters on her hands. She recorded and showed them to me later on when we meet. My sister's operation went really well, but the doctor said not sure if she can wake up after 2.5 days, as they gave her very heavy dosage of necrotic to put her sleep. We waited in the hospital days and nights, and the only thing I can do was praying. She then woke up after 2.5 days exact later, and the first thing she did was crying because she was conscious, but she can't talk nor moving any of her limbs. I kept praying and praying days and night. Most importantly, my sister showed me by opening her eyes wide that she dreamed of Jesus when I casually spoke to her about mom was doing some Chinese stupid thing to pray some other god. And then she showed one more time, eyes wide up. So I went up to her, asked her, "Kion, have you dreamed of Jesus?" And she kept her eyes so wide. I thank God that moment because I've been praying every night secretly to ask Jesus go to talk to my sister because she's very scared. Before believing in God, I had lots of anger towards my ex-husband. But now I have learned how to forgive and let go. I feel much calmer, even though with my sister's unfortunate tragedy, I know now that I should not fear of anything because God will lead me to the best way He plans for me. He will protect me, guide me, and walk with me in every single step. I can trust Him because He never fails to love me, protect me, and He will never leave me. There are many more testimonies I can share during these 2.5 months, and I know that God is with us. Although I told God I will be baptized only if He restored my sister completely, I felt so wrong, sorry, because I have experienced so much of His power, and God answered so many of my prayers. So what am I waiting for? I want to be baptized today because I want to tell God how much I love Him and I want to keep my intimate relationship with Him. Thank you.
Amen. Do you receive Sylvia as your sister in Christ? Amen. Thank you. Thank you.